Thank you for joining us for this online version of Pastor Randy Johnson's sermon from Florida Boulevard Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We pray this message will impact your life and challenge you to draw closer to Jesus Christ.
So thankful for God and His promises and how faithful He is. And we've just been asking God to show us through His Word in these days that we've been looking at in the book of Malachi to teach us how to be faithful to Him. In our giving, in our serving, in our worship, in our families, and in our personal lives, in every part of who we are, may God find us faithful. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Malachi and find chapter 3 as we conclude that particular chapter this morning in the series that I've entitled, How Much Is God Worth? And when you think about your worship and your life and who you are and all that you do and what you give and how you serve and all of those things, you have to ask yourself, how much of myself is God worth? How much am I willing to do or how much am I willing to give in response to all that He has given to me? And sometimes we are okay with giving God or serving God in certain ways or giving God certain parts of our lives. But we may be uncomfortable talking about or freeing up certain areas in our life. And sometimes we kind of treat God like He's out to get things from us, kind of like a debt collector, you know, calling and reminding us what we owe. Or, you know, we treat God like that. I read about a guy who was being hounded by a particular debt collector. And the debt collector called this guy and asked him why he had not been paying this particular bill. And this is the answer that he gave. He said, listen, he said, every month I take all the bills that I have and I put them on the table. I shuffle them all and I pick out 6. And he said, and I pay those 6. He said, if I have any more trouble out of you, I'm going to take you out of the shuffle altogether. And sometimes we treat God like that. We say, okay, God, if I hear another message on this, or if I hear another sermon on that, or if we sing another song about that, I'm not giving you that part of my life at all. And we treat God like He's only out to take from us. But as we've been singing, as we're going to hear from His Word, as we've been reminded in the videos, God is not out to get from us as though He is the one in need. But God calls us to be faithful, to give and to serve so that He can then bless us and pour out upon us more blessing than we can even begin to comprehend. That's God's desire. And so we must be faithful in response to the faithfulness of God. We've got to be willing to give because we've been given. We've got to be willing to serve because we have been served. We've got to be willing to manage the resources that God has given because He's given so much. And Malachi chapter 3 teaches us how much God is worth and asks us to consider that and answer the question with saying, God is worth our giving. Let's look in Malachi chapter 3 as we begin in verse 8, the Bible says, will man rob God? Now, that question is in response to verse 7, but he says, will man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the window of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping His charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another, And the Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. You see, God teaches us in his word today exactly how much he's worth, and he teaches us that in two distinct areas of our life where we must learn to be faithful. And if we can prove ourselves to be faithful and be a good steward or a good manager of these things that God has given to us, then that blessing that God speaks about will just overflow into our life. See, the Bible teaches us, as Jesus taught so many times, as he said, if you are faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. You can be trusted with much, but if you cannot be trusted with little, then you will not be given these great resources and will not be, this is the Randy Revised Version, by the way, you will not be given these great resources at your disposal because you're unfaithful just a little. So the Bible teaches us in two areas this morning where we need to learn to practice faithfulness. First of all, the Bible teaches us that we need to practice faithful giving. Faithful giving to the Lord of our lives, of our time, our resources, but particularly of our income, of the money that we have. And so oftentimes people's gripe whenever they come to church is, well, all the church is interested in is my money. All the preacher ever preaches about is money. Well, that's just simply not true. Because the fact of the matter is God desires all of us. There's just certain areas in our life that are a little more sensitive than others. And giving financially happens to be one of those. And so God in his word does something remarkable for us today. God not only tells us what the problem is, but then he gives us a solution, and then he tells us what the blessing is when we follow that solution. So God in his word, he doesn't rebuke us for not doing, he encourages us to do what we're supposed to. Notice what the problem is first of all. God's word says in verse 8, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? Here's the problem. The problem that God says to his people is that the entire nation has been unfaithful to the word of God that goes all the way back into the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers chapter 18, where God told the Levites to practice giving a tithe, 10% of their income, and then thereby saying to God's people that they are also to follow by giving 10% of their income. They are to honor God by giving him 10% and then living on the 90%, but then living in the blessing of being faithful to God when they give that 10%. And the problem is God says that you are robbing me because you are failing to see what the bigger picture is. You see, here's the bigger picture. Here's the bigger problem. We rob God when we fail to tithe to him. Why? Because we say, well, it's my money. It's my income. I've earned this. And yet we forget that the Bible says that as God's people, as Christians, we've been bought with a price, that our lives and our bodies are no longer our own. Now listen, if you're not okay with that, and if you are trying to determine whether or not you want to be a Christian or want to be a follower of Christ, and you're listening to what the Bible says, and you're searching out the gospel, and you're a seeker, and you're wanting to, and you say, you know what, I'm not interested in being bought with a price. I'm not interested in giving God my life, then you can retain full right and responsibility for everything that is yours, including your sin. And if you retain full rights and responsibility for all things that are yours, including your sin, when your life is over, you're going to pay for every one of those sins. And the Bible says you will be forever separated from God in a place that's not designed for you called hell, and you will be in eternal punishment and torment forever because you wanted in this life to retain full rights and responsibility to your life. Congratulations. Or you can say, Jesus, God's one and only Son, left the glory of heaven to become nothing and died on the cross for a bunch of sinners and no good people like me. And he purchased my sin and he purchased my life. And in response to that, I received this gift. Therefore, I'm going to give God everything. And the Bible calls that the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so when we rob God by not giving him 10% of our income, it is because we fail to see that Jesus Christ is Lord of everything. Not just those areas that we're comfortable with, not just those things that we don't mind giving up, not just those areas that we don't really care if he dabbles in, but everything. These tithes and contributions we are to give with a glad heart. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Can't serve both God and money. If you bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then money is not your God. You bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, your income is not yours. You bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus, nothing that is in your name belongs to you. You are just very simply a manager or a steward of the resources that God enables you to manage. Notice what happens. Here's the bigger part of the problem, verse 9. God says, you are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. You see, what we fail to realize is there is a consequence to failing to give God everything and to bow our knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, even in the particular area of our finances. Not only do we fail to live a blessed life, but God says you're cursed with a curse. You have on your life something that God never intended to give you. You see, as a child of God, God only wants to provide for you blessings. God only wants to use your life to advance his kingdom. God only wants to have his hand upon you, not against you. And when we fail to be obedient in any area of our life, then God gives to us that which he never intended us to have. And that is his hand against us, as he says, you are cursed with a curse. Something that we should not be accustomed to. Rather, we should be accustomed to sacrifice and to giving. It's much like a pastor of a church in Thailand. It's a church of 400. And every single member, every one of these 400 members of this church, they're all tithers. Now, here's the deal. They only make 2 cents a day. Plus rice. That's all they get. But every one of them gives a tithe, gives 10% of their 2 cents a day of their offering. These 400 members, they give enough to pay their pastor. They give enough, they've sent two missionaries and fully support two missionaries to go and do work in another terrible area that have not had an opportunity for the gospel. They're involved in different ministries and different types of helping of those that are in need. You remember these 400 folks, they only make 2 cents a day. Oh, by the way, this church in Thailand, every member is a leper. Every one of them has leprosy. Now, let me ask you, you think you got problems? We find all the excuses in the world not to do what God has called us to be faithful to do. But my dear friend, we fail to see that the problem, God gives us a way to overcome. Notice what he says. Here's the solution for the problem. The solution is in verse 10. He says, bring the whole tithe, the full tithe into the storehouse so there may be food in my house. God says, don't give 2%, don't give 1%. Don't free up 10% and then give 5% to the church and 2% to this charity and 1% to that charity. You know, even while I was gone these last 2 weeks, that question came up. I said, you know, we have the same problem in America. People want to try to be faithful to God's word. And they want to get as close to it as they can, but then still have a little ownership. You know, some folks say, well, I don't like the way the church spends my money. Well, the church needs to be faithful. It needs to do the right thing with the funds that are given. Or some people say, you know, well, I just don't have, I have too many other obligations. I just can't. And we can find all these excuses why we can't or why we shouldn't or why it's just not possible. But God says, listen, take the whole tithe, all 10%, and bring it all into the storehouse. Don't keep any of it for yourself. Don't give this little bit here and this little bit there. Bring the whole thing into the storehouse. Why? So that God's house can be full. That's the blessing that God puts upon the church, is that there's no need that cannot be answered within the church. He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. But then he says in verse 10, and thereby put me to the test. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Friend, there's a remarkable blessing when we put God first in our life. There's a remarkable blessing that happens when we say to God, God, I'm going to trust you, just like the songs we've been singing today. God, you're so faithful. I'm going to trust you to provide. I'm going to trust you to meet my needs. I'm going to trust that you're going to do all that I need in Christ. There was a missionary in Africa who had a little knock on his door. And a little boy came to his door and he was holding a great big fish in his hand. And he said to the missionary, he said, Pastor, you've been teaching us in our village about what it means to tithe. He said, here's my fish that I want to give to the church. Here's my tithe. And so the missionary looked at the fish. It was a huge fish. He said, well, son, that's great. He said, where are the other 9 fish that you caught? He said, oh, they're still back in the river. I haven't caught them yet. I'm telling you, now that's faithfulness to the Lord. That's putting the Lord to the test. That's saying, God, the very first thing that I get, I'm giving it to you, and I trust that you're going to provide for every other need that I have. How many of us walk with that kind of faith? How many of us trust God that much? Can I ask you a silly question? Doesn't that seem ridiculous, though? Doesn't it seem ridiculous that we have a hard time trusting God to provide for our needs with 90% of our income when we bow our knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and trust Him to save us for all of our sin for all of eternity? Now that is a silly question, isn't it? You're talking about small things. Can we not trust God with some of the smallest things in our life when we've already trusted Him with where we're going to spend eternity? Friend, God is ready to bless. God is ready to move. God is ready to pour out His Spirit upon you and upon your family and upon our church if we will just say, Jesus is Lord. And whatever He requires, that is what I will give. There's blessings. There's a problem, there's a solution, but there's blessings. Notice verse 10. Again, he says, I'm going to pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. He says in verse 11, I'll rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear. God says, listen, I'm going to make sure that not only do you have what you need, but I'm going to remove from your midst that which would possibly snatch up things from your life. For example, sometimes we say, well, I don't have enough money to give to God. I've got all these bills. I have all these debts. I have all this stuff. And yet when we start looking at our income and we start writing down all of the bills that we have and all the things that we pay, how many of those things do we really need? Come on now, that was a good place for an amen, unless I hit too close to home. I mean, how much do we pay for a cell phone or cable TV or internet on this and shopping trips and that and times out to eat with friends and all that? Come on now, y'all. You know what I'm talking about. How much of that do we really need? But if we give to God first and God says, I'm going to take the devourer out of the way, all of a sudden God's Spirit says to you, there's some stuff you don't need. And I'm going to free up for you an opportunity to give even more. Listen, 10% is not the max, that's the minimum. God says it's in tithes and in contributions, tithes and offerings. He's talking about more than just the minimum. God is calling us to be freed up to serve Him, to give to Him, to be a blessing to Him because of all of the ways that He's been a blessing to us. Friend, we don't belong here. We don't belong in this world. And our lives, especially our checkbook, should not reflect that we do. It should reflect that we serve the one true and living God and we love Him. God wants to pour out those blessings. Yet sometimes we have a hard time learning those new things. It's like a little girl who was asking her dad to teach her to tie her shoes. Well, morning after morning, they were working on it, and she'd make the little knot, and she'd slip it through, and she just couldn't get it. Well, one day, he found her in her room, and she was bawling her eyes out, and her shoes were on, and they were tied, and he said, well, honey, what's wrong? She said, I learned to tie my shoes. He said, well, why are you upset? We've been practicing this. We've been learning how to do this. She said, yeah, but now I'm going to have to do it the rest of my life. Sometimes we treat God like that. Oh, God, now that I know what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to have to do it the rest of my life. But just think of the blessings, God says. Yes, there's a problem when we don't. But God gives us a solution, and He says, listen, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take stuff out of the way to free you up, and I'm going to just pour myself upon you. How many of us, if given the option to live with God's blessing and 90% of an income, or live without God's blessing on 100% of our income, how many of us would honestly today say, I don't want the hand of God on my life. I don't want the blessing of God on me. That's just one area. That's just one way that we can receive blessings from God. There's a second way. God not only talks about our faithfulness in giving, but look at this next part of this text. He says that we also need to practice faithful service. It's faithful serving. Being a good manager of the resources that God gives to us, meaning our time and our talents, the abilities that God gives to us, those things that we can offer back to Him. Look at what God's Word says. Here's the problem, verse 13. He said, your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, verse 14, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping His charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts in verse 15. And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Friend, can you imagine the nerve of God's people saying, it is vain and it is a waste of time to serve God? Well, sure we can imagine because some of us say it all the time. Some of us say it, well, now listen, we don't say it like that. But we say it in more subtle ways like, oh, I'm too tired. I can't possibly serve God today. Oh, I'm sure somebody else will do it. What we're saying to God is, you know, it's vain to serve God because He's just not worth my time. He's not worth my energy. I've had such a full week or I've had such a busy weekend. I can't possibly give God any time on a Sunday. You see, it's just like our income. It's just like anything else. Where our priorities are, that's going to set our schedule. If we look forward to serving God on Sunday, then we're going to carve out time to be ready to serve God on Sunday. If we have an opportunity to serve God on a Tuesday night, we're going to make sure that nothing comes in interference on our schedule on Tuesday so we can free up that time to serve Him. You see, when you think about the ministry of Jesus Christ, you never once find in the gospel where Jesus said, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I don't want to, I don't have time. It's pointless, it's vain to serve these people. Jesus always gave. And he said to those, and particularly the disciples, I have not come to be served, but to serve. I have not come to sit and to soak, but I've come to rust out. I mean, to live my life out, not rust out, but to live my life and wear out for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm put on this planet. Not to glorify me, but to glorify him. And Jesus says, God says in his word, that the problem is we find it vain. We find it troublesome. We find it difficult. But here's the solution. That's the problem. The solution is in verse 16. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. And the Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Now, there's a couple things in this passage, in that particular verse, that is worth remembering. First of all, those who fear together need to flock together. Those who fear the Lord need to stick together. Why? Because we can remind each other that we respect, we revere, we fear the Lord. We hold him up in such high esteem, we would never say to God, God, you don't deserve it. Because he's worth so much to us. And we can remind each other of that. You see, a church can either be a group of people that gather together to see what others can do for them, or we can be a church that gathers together to see what we can do for other people. Either we can be a collection of folks that look to each other and say, how much are they willing to give for me? How much are they willing to do for me? How much are they willing to serve for my benefit? Or we can look up to God and we can say, God, this is how much you're worth. This is how much you're worth to me. This is what I'm willing to do for you. Listen, I don't want you to serve for my benefit. I don't want you to give for my benefit. I don't even want you to give and serve for this church's benefit. I want you to give and serve and pour out your life because God is worth it. And because Jesus gave it all and all to him I owe. And sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And so I give everything I have to him. And I want to remember that. Neither do I fear him, but I want to remember. He says there's a book of remembrance written before him of those who fear the Lord. You know, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is nothing more than a book of remembrance of the faithfulness of God. And anytime we forget that God is faithful, open up the Word of God and you will see page after page after page of how God has been faithful to you. You know, one of the things that I taught over the last 2 weeks is a spiritual discipline of journaling. I don't know how many of you journal. I don't know how many of you blog or write or record your thoughts or whatever. But it is an amazing discipline when you write down the faithfulness of God, when you write down prayers that God has answered, when you write down ways in which God has moved in your life and in your family. It's an amazing thing to write all that down. And then the moments that you forget, find that book and open it and say, oh yeah, I forgot. God answered that prayer. God moved in this way. God really does love me even on those days that I forget. And we fail to remember, open up God's word and see that God is always faithful. He deserves everything we have. God is worth serving. And here's the blessing. Verses 17 and 18, it says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more they shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Friend, do you want to know what the blessing is of belonging to God? The blessing is you belong to God. The blessing of bowing your knee to the Lordship of Jesus is that Jesus is Lord, not just once, but all the time. that you're adopted into the family of God and God will spare you. God will save you. God will call you his own. And on that great and terrible day of judgment, when the sheep are separated from the goats, friend, you will go where God is and you will be where Jesus is and you will never be taken out of his hand. That's pretty good. That's why I serve the Lord. That's why I give to God. That's what he's worth to me, because he gave everything to redeem me. He gave everything to save me. He calls me his own. Therefore, I will honor him with all of my life. And we forget that. It's like a little girl who's in Sunday school, and her Sunday school teacher was teaching her that we are never more Christ-like than when we serve others. When we put the needs of others ahead of ourselves and we live our lives to be a blessing to others. And this little girl's eyes got real big and she says, well, what good is the others for? You know, we think, if I'm to serve others, what are they going to do? Don't worry about it. That's not our concern. We often wonder about, well, if I'm going to step up and I'm going to take on this leadership role, or I'm going to be this or I'm going to be that, what's everybody else going to do? Don't worry about it. See, Peter had an issue with this. Jesus was talking to John, last chapter in the Gospel of John. He was saying some great things about John, and Peter kind of stuck his nose in there. You know what Jesus said? Don't worry about it. He said, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to him. Listen, when you step up and when you begin to serve and you begin to be faithful and you begin to give, don't worry about what everybody else is going to do. You're not called to manage their schedule. You're not called to manage their resources. You're not called to manage their finances. You're called to be faithful with yours. And even if nobody else is going to do it, you need to be faithful to do it. I called my dad yesterday. It was his 69th birthday yesterday. Told him he's getting old. He said, well, when you're 69, how old will that make me? I said, you'll be 99. I said, Dad, you're getting old. But I'm glad that he's getting old, because he's still here. He's still around. Great man of God. I look up to him and thank God for him. We were talking on the phone, and, of course, he wanted to know all about the trip, and I told him all those things. And, of course, I'd already told my mom most of that, but he likes to hear it from me, and so I was answering all of his questions and telling him all this stuff. And I told him what I taught, who I taught, and where I went, all those kind of things. And he said, you know, it sure would be neat to find out how many people got saved as a result of this teaching, and how many pastors and how many churches are encouraged and all that stuff as a result of that. I said, you know, Dad, I guess I'll have to wait till I get to heaven to find out. Because in all seriousness, that never crossed my mind. I never once thought that I was going over there to be some kind of a hero, to be some kind of a Superman, to be some kind of a savior. I went over there as a servant because I love Jesus Christ and I love his word. And sometimes we get this Superman or this super person mentality, and we think, you know, I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be a deacon. I'm going to be a Sunday school teacher. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Aren't I going to be important? And the answer is no. Sometimes we think, you know, well, I'm going to give 12%. I'm not going to give 10%. I'm going to give 12%. I bet most folks in our church don't even give 6%. I'm going to give twice what they give. No, I bet I feel special. You know what? Don't worry about it. Sometimes we get this attitude that we give in order to be special, or that we serve in order to have some title, or we do in order to be appreciated. Friend, we give because we've been given. We serve because we've been served. We love because he first loved us. And everything we do should be for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and not for ourselves. And so we serve not to be saved, but because we've already been saved. We give not in order to please God, but because God is pleased when we're obedient. And some, as I mentioned earlier, hear things about Jesus and hear things about the gospel, and they wonder, you know, do I really want to put God first? Some people perhaps here today, you're thinking to yourself, do I really want to call Jesus Lord? Do I really want to put him first in my life? Friend, there is no better decision than you could ever make with your life than to bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus and receive God's grace for your sin and Jesus' death on the cross as payment for your sin and be called one of God's very own. And then have God's hand of blessing upon you by being faithful and obedient to his word. If there is just one person here today who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, friend, God is offering you that gift today. And if you'll open up your hands and let go of your sin and your selfishness and receive God's grace and his gift, God will pour himself out upon you in ways you'll never imagine. And every person here who's already accepted Christ is a living testimony of a life that's been changed. Maybe God's doing a work in you in how you give. Maybe God's doing a work in you today on how you serve. Maybe God's speaking to a family or to a husband and wife or just to an individual and saying, listen, I've given you so much. Are you being faithful with it? And you know that you're not. Then today is the day to answer God's call of faithfulness. In response to his faithfulness to you, be faithful with what he's called you to manage. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. To come to our time of invitation with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, God is giving us this time before this service draws to a close to respond to his Holy Spirit. And I pray that today, if there's just one person who needs to be saved, in this time of invitation when people begin to stand and sing and our ministerial staff is here in the front of these steps, that you will come and share your heart with one of our ministers and say, Pastor, today I need to be saved. I need to give Jesus Christ my life and receive God's greatest gift. Or maybe you need to simply come and pray as a believer in Christ. Bring your family, bring a friend, or pray and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ today in how you serve or how you give or how you manage your very life. Whatever decision God's calling you to make, I'm going to pray for us right now. And I'm going to ask God to move and give us the courage to make that decision. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And we see, God, the very value of worth that you have. And it is indescribable, the great blessings and the value that you have. Father, may we, in response to your faithfulness, show you, God, that we too can be faithful with that which you have given to us. Father, may your Holy Spirit move in this place today and stir in our hearts ways that we can be found faithful to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Randy Johnson. If you have questions and you desire to speak with someone about what you've heard, please contact us at 225-272-3740. Or via our website at www.fbbc.org. If you are in the Baton Rouge area, we invite you to worship with us on Sunday morning at 10:15. Come learn how to be a disciple and make disciples.